Go to both Johns. We need to go to John, Big John, chapter 8, 1 John, chapter 1. And then put a marker in a chapter you've never been in, Mark 11. Hallelujah. And I'm going to preface this like this. See, you guys, again, the Sunday night crowd, you're the tip of the spear. Normal church, normal Christianity. If you were satisfied with that, you wouldn't be here. You know, if this is all there is, just kill me now. Because we read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we see what the church is supposed to be doing. And with all of our best efforts, like Dave says, we've prayed and used the name and milked every cell of our being for faith, and still we don't see it happening like it should be happening. So the hunger's still there, and the hunger keeps driving us back into prayer and fasting and the Word and back out on Sunday night. So, you've got to remember now, I was raised Southern Baptist. I thank God for the Southern Baptist. If I was raised Catholic, I'd have Catholic stories. If I was raised Presbyterian, I'd have Presbyterian stories. But the only stories I have are Baptist, because that's how I was raised. And they're good people. They love God. Many. I've met saved Baptists. I've met saved Pentecostals. I've met saved Catholics, too. Okay? But we're all on a journey. Okay? Now, the reason I'm saying that is this, and I want to start off in John 8, verse 12, and this is right after, see, to make sense of this, this is right after the incident with the woman caught in adultery. They literally caught her in the act, brought her in to be condemned. And at the end of the story, Jesus says, let's just pick it up at the end of the story, verse 10. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? And she said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, now get this, neither do I condemn thee. Why not? Well, he's going to pay the price for her sins. He already knows that. But look what he says to her. Go and sin no more. Now, prophetically, that's what happens to everybody who gets born again. If you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, he does not condemn you. Why? Well, he paid the price for you. He does not condemn you. But to the Christian, he's saying, prophetically here, go and sin no more. In that light, the next verse, verse 12. Then spake Jesus unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Now see, that verse has been in my Bible all my Baptist years. If I'd have raised Catholic, they would have been in my Bible all my Catholic years. All my Presbyterian years. What I'm saying is, no matter what denomination, that verse is in your Bible. But all I can do is speak from a Baptist perspective, because that's the only one I grew up in. See, we read that. Okay, hallelujah. We hallelujah every verse, don't we? But see, in real life, we didn't believe that at all. We thought, we're just old sinners. Because of the doctrine we sat under, you're forgiven, but you're not changed. You're still just an old sinner saved by grace. You can't help but sin. Yeah, we know what Jesus said there. But you know, none of us can really not walk in darkness. I mean, we're just old sinners. I mean, now I don't know how it is for Catholics. I don't know how it is for Presbyterians. All I know is how it was with a Baptist. And so we know that verse is in there. We never would argue about that. Yes, that verse is in there. But come on. To really believe that? And I didn't realize how much it was still in me until he opened up the 1 John series. So let's read that now. I hope you have them pinched together by now. Oops, do I? I do not. So let me get 1 John. Yeah, here it is. All right. So see that pinch? John 8:12. I got pinched now. John 1 John chapter 1. So John 8:12, I am the light of the world. Now, he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Go to 1 John chapter 1, look at verse 6. 50 years later, roughly, the Apostle John still teaching what Jesus taught. And he says in verse 6, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie. And we do not the truth. And I'm thinking, my whole Baptist life, the time for me, it was many years that I spent in that world. And I'm not picking on the Baptists. I don't think it's that much different in about any denomination. We know that verse is there, but surely he didn't mean it. And I found out when we did the 1 John series, Jesus is as serious as a box of rocks. A box of rocks is serious if they're going to throw them at you. Isn't that right? He is completely serious. And now I'm remembering when in a vision I saw him walk right over here, point to my Bible and say, I want to be believed. So we went through the 1 John series. If you have not had that, if you have not heard that series, it's available at our website, garycarpenter.org. You'll find it, 1 John series there. We've got it in MP3 format, YouTube videos, and even the written notes that I taught from are all there. You need to hear that series, the 1 John series. Now, I found out in 1 John, which Jesus the whole time was completely serious. See, go back over to John 8. I hope you still got it pinched. See, that's the very same chapter. If you continue on in that chapter, come on down to verse 31, where he says, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. In the context, free from what? Free from darkness? Or you could say free from sin. Then answered they, we be of Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, you shall be made free? And boy, Jesus, he zeroes right in. Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin. Committing sin is walking in darkness. You got that? Whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin, and the servant abides not in the house forever, but the Son abides forever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. By the time we got through with 1 John, we found out Jesus was completely serious when he said, those that follow me shall not walk in darkness. And he was expecting us to believe him the whole time and to walk in the truth of what he said. Now, am I okay so far? Well, now let's go to Mark 11:23. Because he is just as serious about Mark 11 as he was about John 8. And we're going to have to walk in Mark 11 because we're going to have revival. But we're not going to have it without believing him in Mark 11 the same way we have to believe him about John 8. He is just as serious in Mark 11 as he is in John chapter 8. Now, it's a different subject right here. Verse 22, right where you thought I was going. Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. Now you know what's coming. We're going to talk about speaking to the mountain and answered prayer. But now, I don't like this statement. You're not going to like it. If you speak to the mountain and it doesn't move, it's because you lack faith in God. Weren't the amens tremendous right there? The hallelujah chorus. I think I heard the angels break out in the hallelujah chorus. Well, that's both of these things, speaking to the mountain and answered prayer, hinge on the first thing he said, have faith in God. See, we all know, and if you were here Wednesday night, oh, that was quite a word that came through Nathan. Most of it was just, most of, not just, I don't mean that, most of it was worship. But there was a word that came through Nathan that was a spanking. Like, where's the Holy Ghost? Our services have become somewhat religious. Where's the Holy Ghost? See? And I think we all got our spanking that night. I've been asking him about that, and this is where he took me. He says, if you're ever going to co-labor with the Holy Ghost, you have got to believe the same way that you finally got it, that I was serious about John 8, you got to understand I am serious about Mark 11. So let's look at it again. So Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Now let's stop for a moment. Context, remember Dave, context. What just happened? Jesus spoke to a fig tree. In this case, he cursed it. No man eat fruit of thee again forever. It didn't look like anything happened at that moment. He spoke to it. They went on to Jerusalem. If you go back and look at it in the context, he drove out the money changers and did some things there, and they come back. And by the time they're coming back, the fig tree is dried up from the roots. Now, why does he start off, have faith in God? Did Jesus secretly during the night come out there with an axe and a shovel and dig around that fig tree and take an axe and cut the roots off or something? Did he do anything in the natural to make that word come to pass? Or was he co-laboring with the Holy Spirit? Let me say it a different way. Was the Holy Spirit co-laboring with his words? See, this is why I have faith in God. We have got to come to the place that when we speak, we know we are loosing, co-laboring with the Holy Spirit, because he's the one that does the works. He's the molecule changer. The way Jesus said it, it's the Father in me that does the works. Well, he also said, our Father which art in heaven. So how is the Father in him? It's by the Holy Ghost. Same Holy Ghost you got in you. Spirit. He called him the Spirit of my Father one time. Remember that? Holy Spirit today is not changed from Genesis 1, verses 1 and 2. God speaks and the Holy Spirit does. It was the Holy Spirit that was hovering over the face of the darkness and the deep there. It was the Holy Spirit was there. The third member of the Godhead was the one that was there. Just like in our dispensation, it's the Holy Spirit is the one that is here. God the Father's in heaven. Gee, I know he's in your heart, don't get me. But God the Father's in heaven. Jesus in his glorified body is seated at the right hand of the Father. Who's here? Holy Spirit's the one that's here. Boy, is he still hovering over the darkness. This whole world lieth in darkness. He is waiting for sons. All through this lesson, when I say sons, not one of you women is let off the hook. You are as much a son of God as any hairy leg guy in here. You are joint heir, same inheritance, none diminished, none whatsoever. Okay? Hallelujah. Okay. I'm sorry, incoming, okay? Give me a moment. Remember when he told me years ago, this is what he's reminded me of. He says, the day's going to come when you're going to look back on these days. These powerless days when we pray and nothing happens. The day will come when you'll look back on these days and you'll just laugh that you ever thought it was so hard. I think we're really approaching there quick. I think we're really approaching there. It's going to dawn on our lightning quick mind that Jesus meant exactly what he said. That we are the sons who have been given all authority in the name of Jesus. He's kind of waiting on us to put away childish things and to grow up. When I became a man, I put away childish things, grow up, take our place, take our responsibility, believe him, go forth as the anointed sons of God that we really are. And kick every gate of darkness down. Set every captive free because the sons of light have come on the scene. God. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, see, and shall not doubt in his heart. What causes you not to doubt in your heart? You have faith in God. You think Jesus had any doubt that when he spoke, the Holy Spirit was going to do what he spoke? See, and that's where we've got to come. So, I've spoken in the past and it didn't happen. Can't go by the past. Forgetting those things that are behind, we're pressing towards the mark. Isn't that right? Paul, for crying out loud, he had murder in his past. He had Philip stoned. Come on. Yet he raised somebody from the dead. He was so anointed, his physical body was so anointed by the Holy Ghost, they put cloths on his body to catch his sweat. And they carried those cloths to the sick and those that were devil-possessed and relayed on them. That anointing was so strong, they didn't have to say nothing. Laid the cloth on them and the devils came out. Sickness was healed. Paul would say, that's not hard. I sweat. They took the cloth. Okay. You get the point? Shall not doubt in his heart. Now here it is. But shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he saith. And in the context, speaking to a tree that has no mind of its own, no understanding of its own, but just speaking to something natural, and the Holy Ghost, do what you say. I don't think cancer has a mind of its own, do you? Something natural, isn't it? Speak to it and it goes. Speak to it and it dies. Shrivels up from the roots and leaves. We're getting there. And then when it comes to prayer, verse 24, therefore, because that's true, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, what things soever you desire. See, this is for sons who have put away childish things. I'm not believing for a new Xbox. The God's not against you having an Xbox, but I'm just saying we've grown up above childish things. You hear me? We're about our Father's business. What things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Now, Jesus is serious. He's just as serious about this as he was about John 8, verse 12. Those that follow me shall not walk in darkness. See, I know what that revelation, once we went through 1 John, and I'll just tell you, my walk was already pretty narrow. It got narrower. It's getting narrower still. Yeah, see, same thing. Thank God you're not asking me what mine is. I'm not asking you either. But it's still getting narrower. I expect it to get narrower yet. You know our talking is going to get narrower as we start walking in this, yes. Now, last week during Calling in the Lost, I brought a copy of the February letter from Dave Roberson Ministries. Here it is. If you have a phone or an iPad here tonight, or if you're watching, you can go to daveroberson.org. Okay, I see phones coming out. Go to Dave, so you can read off the page with us. daveroberson.org. In the left-hand column, one of the things you can click on says teaching letters. Click on that. Then what opens up at the very top of the first one listed is the February letter in 2019. Click on that, and this letter will come up. Now, I printed out a hard copy. Now, last Sunday night, I'm telling you, this is really awesome. And we went through the first 10 items last Sunday night. The second half of this letter, it's all so wonderful. But if Jesus walked in the room here right now and took the microphone, I don't think he would say anything different than what he's saying right here. This is the present hour speaking of the Lord, and he is completely serious about believing him. He means what he says. So we went through item 10 last Sunday night. You can listen to that one. But let's pick it up here in Item 11, starting in 11A. Yes, sir. He starts off saying being on the offensive. See, most of the church has a very defensive stature. They have a defensive posture, meaning, whew, well, we survived that attack of the devil. We better rest up and get ready for the next attack. And so we're always on the defensive. Here comes the next attack. Jesus was not on the defensive. Jesus was on the offensive. He went from village to village and preaching and teaching and demonstrating the kingdom of God and kicking down every gate of darkness and setting the captives free, healing the sick and delivering the demon possessed. Glory to God. And he says, the works that I do shall you do also, and greater than these. We're supposed to adopt an offensive on purpose. Go deliver the captives that are behind the gates of hell, behind the gates of darkness. Let's go deliver them. Get them set free. Get them saved. Get them healed. Get them delivered off of drugs and everything else. Amen? Being on the offensive is to stand in the authority of sonship. Stand in the authority of sonship. As living, viable heirs of my kingdom. Now notice, enforcing my will. Somebody's got to stand up and enforce it. If the mindset is one of being on the offensive side in every situation, if we can come to that place where that's our mindset everywhere we go, then you are operating out of the mind of Christ, and the victory has been gained. Now look, even when it seems all is lost and your back is up against every wall, as a son in my family, women, your sons, as a son in my family, you still stand in the offensive position. For I have given you authority over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm you. See, I'm thinking right now of the storm, and the boat was sinking, and they were supposed to go across the Sea of Galilee. And it looked like certain death. I mean, these guys are experienced fishermen. They've weathered many storms on that sea. But this one, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And they're not kidding. Looks like certain all is lost. But there was one offensive son. There was a son who understood his authority in the boat, who stood up and said, peace, be still. Glory to God. I don't care what it looks like. Jesus is in your boat. Christ is in you. And you've been given all authority. All right, 12A. What a statement. You are my authority in this earth. See, when he's had me teach anything along that line, I would say, you're God's hope in the earth. Meaning, his only hope is that we get this. He's hoping we get to the place we understand that sentence. You are my authority in the earth. You are the body of my son. And you are to use the authority of his nature in you and exercise your place in me. As sons for all eternity. It is an eternal standing, and there is no departing the place you have been given in me. It is finished. You are my sons. We could worship him for hours right there. 12B, the place of worship is a key, not the only key, but worship is a key to this offensive position. For in this place of intimacy, you take on my mind and leave the restraints of this world in their proper place. As you become less aware of this world system and more aware of my kingdom system through worship, you lose the weight of the world and gain the brightness of my image. Out of this place, you begin to operate freely out of my mind. In this place of unity, it frees me to operate through you to bring my truths forth and my purposes and plans to pass. And when he says unity, it's wonderful to have horizontal unity. I'm glad when we all get along, but that's not the unity he's talking about. He's talking about John 17 unity. Father, I pray that they all be one as we are one. He's talking about a vertical unity where your mind literally becomes the mind of Christ. You think like him, you act like him, you have the same, you talk like him, you have the same results he has. And you have become one with Christ. 12C. In this place of intimacy through worship, it is easier to see that there is nothing to take back. The enemy has nothing of mine. Nothing. But his lies and deceptions make it seem like he has captured my land. This is not so. My land is my land. It's like Jane, see the ball. Doesn't your Bible say the gold is mine? The silver is mine? You say, yeah, but the church doesn't have it. The drug cartels and Hollywood has it. Doesn't mean it's not his. And if we ever learn our authority, it won't belong to them. It'll belong to you. Okay. One more. That woman that was bowed over. How long was that? Somebody tell me. 18 years? Thank you. Bowed over for 18 years. Did Jesus have to go in and do mighty warfare in the spirit and wrestle with the devil? No. He walked right in and said, this is a daughter of Abraham. And he loosed her instantly because she belonged to God. Only thing needed was a son to walk in and use the authority that he had. If we ever learn that, we're going to empty St. Jude's Hospital, Tulsa Children's Medical Center. God will provide jobs for all those people. Hallelujah. My land is my land, and in your sonship, all that you do is out of my nature and out of my truths in who you are in me. Your role is only that of enforcing truth. What if we find out, Doug, it's just so simple. Our job is to know who we are, where we're from, why we're here, be led by the Spirit. He sends you to a sick person. You walk in, you say, be healed in the name of Jesus. You walk out and they're healed. And they go, just laugh and go, and they're really healed. And you laugh and you go, I thought that used to be hard. You mean all I had to do was believe you? Actually take you serious that you mean what you say? And what I say comes to pass because I have your name? Hmm. 12D. An intimate walk will be required for some of the things that you will see and that will stand before you. But in intimacy is the confidence of who you are in me. And out of this place, what place? A place of intimacy. No foe will fool you. And I will be free to bring my kingdom forth at this hour, so that many might come to know me and go free. Watch and pray, and continue to pursue the intimate way. There was a phrase that again came through Nathan. I'm not trying to, blow Nathan's horn or anything, but it is what it is. And I believe the week before, maybe 2 weeks before, a prophecy or an exhortation came through his lips. And I never heard this phrase. The Holy Spirit or the Lord asked this question, where are my warriors of intimacy? Wow. Wow. I've been thinking about that ever since. Warriors, you don't normally think of warrior and intimate at the same time. This word from God right here explains exactly what he means by that. You're going to be victorious in war. You're going to be victorious when I send you into the darkness. You need to learn this intimate way first. Become a warrior of intimacy. Man, I like that. Verse 13. Number 13 on your page. I'm so used to doing verses. Let my word be a beacon that lights your way and a power that removes obstacles and set things in their true order. Be conformed to the word of who you are in my son. Plain English, believe what my word says about you. And walk in this light and remove the darkness that has abounded. It is time for the true light of my sons to shine. We're in the morning services, we're doing the Sermon on the Mount. Once we get through the Beatitudes right away, he says, you are the salt of the earth. He doesn't say he is. He says you are. You are the, he. Now in John 8:12 that we read a while ago, he says, I'm the light of the world. That light has lit your candle. And now he says, you are the light of the world. He says, let your light so shine before men. He's not talking about your giving. He's not talking about your fasting. He talks about that later on in Matthew 6. He's not talking about those things. No, he's talking about doing the works, the same kind of works he did, so that the world can know that there is a Savior and his name is Jesus. Amen? And he works through us. We are his body now. Number 14. In my righteousness, you are equipped in the fullness of my Son. What if we believe that sentence? I'm asking you, what if we believed it? See, I had John 8:12 in my Bible for decades. Read it, heard it preached about, could have talked about it with you over coffee, but wasn't living it hardly at all. But Jesus was completely serious about John 8:12. And he is completely serious about the works that I do shall you do also and greater. He is completely serious. And he expects us to walk in it. When he says, we are the righteousness of God in Christ, we are the righteousness of God in Christ. So he says here, in my righteousness you are equipped in the fullness of my Son. So as the enemy presents his lies from his position of defeat, you present my truth in my position of victory that is yours in Christ. Now notice, and decree. You don't decree with thoughts. Did you get that? Decree means you say it. Whosoever it shall say. Nowhere never do you find whosoever shall think against this mountain. No, you got to speak to the mountain. Well, here he uses that word decree. You know that's not thinking. That's speaking. So he says, you present my truth in my position of victory that is yours in Christ and decree. That means say it out loud and say it like a command. Decree. In the authority of the sons of the Almighty, this truth. And here's the truth. Righteousness prevails over darkness at all times. You got that? Never yet, when the electricity is hooked up, have you walked into a dark room, flipped the switch, and darkness won? I mean, here's a little light that's trying to push it. No, no, no. Darkness cannot win. When the light comes, darkness goes. Bam. You are light. You're not dark. Glory to God. I like that. Right, say it with me. Righteousness prevails over darkness at all times. Say it this way. I don't ever lose. Not in the kingdom. Don't leave the truth of righteousness in all your thinking, in all your speaking, and in all your doing. Keep that thinking in the forefront of your mind. Righteousness always prevails over darkness. Always. I don't care if your son is in rebellion, your daughter's in rebellion. I remember when all three of our daughters were in rebellion at the same time. Glory to God, they're all in the kingdom now. Darkness did not prevail either. We spoke the word of God, found us some verses, spoke it all the time. Glory to God, and righteousness prevailed too. Stand in the righteousness of the Son. Oh, S-O-N. Stand in the righteousness of the Son. And declare and decree. There it is again. Declare and decree. Not just think. Not a wishing and a hoping. Declare and decree. I just wonder. I'm picking on my own house. You know, when we're in a real battle. I hope nobody, you know. There's times I do pretty good. When you're in a battle, you better. Sometimes the last thing you want is somebody listening outside your window to hear what you're saying. When you're right in the real battle. then we wonder why the light, why the righteousness didn't prevail. We did not declare and decree. Even listening, I love listening to good messages. When they're good, I listen to my own, not to him. But I love listening to Dave. I love listening to, you know, Alan, Jim, Bronk, Nathan. I love all of that. But that is not the same as decreeing and declaring. Even prayer, the kind I'm talking about, like praying in tongues. Thank God for praying in tongues. But there is a time to pray, and there's a time to decree and declare. And he's not even so much talking about when you get attacked. He's talking about when we go on the attack. See? Now look, and so the next sentence. Decree the voice of the kingdom, which is my word, and be moved by nothing. Here everybody was, we're going to die, we're going to die, the ship's going under. Master, don't you care that we're going to die? And he's asleep. He's not moved by anything. Don't be moved by the circumstances. The ship's going down. I'll take a nap. Hallelujah. I'm so secure. Glory to God. But you got to decree. He stood up and he decreed. And the circumstances changed. You stand up and decree and the circumstances will change too. Gary, how can you say that so boldly? Righteousness prevails over darkness at all times. There it is. Stand, you are victorious in all things. I love you and I have given you my all, he says. Oh, man. I was hoping we'd have enough time to get to this one. 15a. When I said that mountains melt like wax at the presence of the Lord. How many of you know that's the Old Testament talks about that? Where the mountains will quake and they'll melt like wax, you know, when at the presence of the Lord. He said, what does that shadow refer to in the better covenant through the very blood of my own son? It means that mountains now melt as if they were wax at the presence of my sons. It means that whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed by your roots and be planted deep within the sea where it is no longer a thing to be dealt with, and doubts not in that place in you that believes in me, you shall have mountains removed by your word, and mountains shall be as if they never existed. Years ago, he gave me that phrase. We use it very often in the ministry line. Whatever the situation is, we like pray healing to the point it's like it never happened. That sickness never happened to you. Well, it'll be like those mountains never existed. Now, I have given you my authority. I could give you half a dozen verses where Jesus did exactly that. I have given you my authority, which is my truth. My word is truth, and the entirety of it is truth. When my word is spoken by my sons, are you ready for this? It is as the command of my own lips. Now, if you are the body of Christ, your lips are his lips. I mean, that makes perfect sense to me. He doesn't have lips on planet Earth except ours. And I mean the body of Christ. So when we give the command as a son of God, when those words come out our lips in the name of Jesus, it is no different. Look what he says. It is as the command of my own lips, because they are. We are the body of Christ. He has no lips but ours. God, if we get this, and I just keep going back to this because I know the change that took place in me in that first John journey, where I saw, after all those years of knowing John 8:12 was in my Bible, and it sunk like something clunk went down on the inside of me. I said, my God, he was serious about that. He intends for born again people to not walk in darkness and quit making excuses. He's serious. Well, now he's getting serious about, I expect you to believe that when you speak, it will come to pass. I want you to have faith in God, that the Holy Spirit will perform what you say. When my word is spoken by my sons, it is as the command of my own lips. It is as the life from my own lips, for it is. All that is of truth has come from me, the God of all truth. My word, my truth, is eternal and is an eternal force. This, we sing that song, the blood will never lose its power, neither will the word. It'll never lose its power. Heaven and earth will pass away, but his words will never pass away. It's an eternal force, an eternal authoritative force. It is the verbal unction of the Father and is full of my power by the work of my Spirit. God. Speak the word only. My word, my truth, is eternal and is an eternal force, an eternal authoritative force. It is the verbal unction of the Father and is full of my power and the work of my Spirit. God, man, we could just camp on any one of these. If we listen, he is serious about this. He wants to be believed. Can we do one more? We're not going to make it nearly through all of these tonight. 16a. To walk in my fullness is to understand the fellowship of my Spirit that you have been called to. See, this takes me back to what the Lord said through Nathan just last recently. Where's the Holy Ghost? See, that becoming aware of his presence, that he's always with you, that fellowship that he keeps asking us to give him so that we're in that constant back and to. It's supposed to be a two-way thing, you know. We talk with him and he talks back. We fellowship with him. He fellowships with, you know, my Bible says draw nigh to God. He draws nigh to you. See? But he said it's in that fellowship to walk in the fullness. We're not going to do it without the Holy Ghost. Here we go. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. This is the fullness you are called to. See, this is our revival. That's the call of the prayer center. In this fullness is the full partnership of my sons with my Spirit. Boy, co-laboring with the Holy Ghost right there. Let me say it again. In this fullness is the full partnership of my sons with my Spirit. His presence with you is close and permanent. I feel like worshiping again. It's close and permanent. It is constant. Pardon me while I worship. It's constant. Whether you feel it or not, nothing is held back. All has been given to you. Now you are closer than you have ever been to walking in this fullness. But a war must be fought, for the enemy will not go softly. Have y'all found that out? Smith Wigglesworth that time, and my job's not to ignore these when they come up, but lady was getting on a bus and her little dog kept yapping and loving her and wouldn't leave. Now go home, sweetie, go home. I got to get on the bus. And little doggy, I love you, I love you. And go home now, go home. Little dog, I love you, I love you. She's about to get on the bus. And finally, it's dangerous. She says, get! And the little dog, yik, yik, yik. And Smith said, that's the way you got to do the devil. You got to take authority. Get! He won't go softly, but he will go. Verse 16b. I keep seeing verse. Well, this is so him. Man, there's not a sentence here that I couldn't get you umpteen scriptures on. I mean, it is so him. He says, do not wait. Do not wait. Do not wait for the appearance of the enemy's forces as the signal to go to war. And that's where the church has been, so defensive. Whew. What are you doing? Well, we're recovering from the last battle, the last attack. We survived, glory to God, we survived. And we're getting ready. Ready for what? For the next attack. And he's going, that's not that's not the position I want my army to be in. I got to read it again. Do not wait. Do not wait. Do not wait for the appearance of the enemy's forces as the signal to go to war. As the Lord of armies. Oh, I like that. My command is go. As the Lord victorious, my command is go. Go into the land of my glory. Go into the land of my fullness. Go into the land of who you are. Go forth and take no captives. Leave all evidence of the enemy behind you. In one of the face-to-face documents, I don't remember which one. Read them all till you find it. He said, in the wake of Jesus, after he would pass through a village, did you just find people talking about his teachings and that was the only change? He came through and he taught? Or did you find in his wake, in other words, behind him, did you find the blind seeing, the lame walking, the deaf hearing? That's what he's talking about here. Go on the offensive. Set the captives free. Declare the kingdom. And man, I'd like to keep going, but we got to stop. We're running short. Is y'all liking this? Now, I recommend you download this to your computer and print you out a copy and go through this. I've been going through it again and again till. And I don't want to just go through it. I want to walk in this. And I'm going to say it one more time. There has been a permanent change. I'll never be the same when it comes to walking in darkness. My path got narrow, or it's not broadening back. There was a change in me when I saw he was serious when he's talking in John 8:12. Those that follow me shall not walk in darkness. And no matter that I was raised for decades in a denomination that preached you had to walk in darkness, I found out he was serious and that if I'm born again, I don't have to walk in darkness anymore. And if I do, with my best intention, stumble or sin and make a mess, and thank God for 1 John 1:9, that I can run back to the blood and be forgiven and cleansed, and he'll pick me up and dust me off like any good father with a son and set me on my way again. Right after he gives me a big old chicken leg and mashed potatoes and gravy. Because I'm his favorite. And you're his favorite. You understand what I'm saying? Glory to God. Okay, I've got to stop. Man, this is good stuff. I could just camp here. Just take any one of these and just camp and worship. And I recommend we all do that. And until we're walking in this, we're getting closer to this revival. And we're going to think, how did we ever think this was hard? How did we ever think that? What it's going to be, I can tell you now, previews. I'll tell you what it all boils down to. Believe in him. Believe in he was just as serious about everything else as he was about John 8:12. He meant it the same way he meant John 8:12. Glory to God. Okay.